Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. Welcome, welcome, beautiful souls. I'm very excited to be with you today for this special masterclass on psychedelics, prep, and the gray zone. How to ethically support clients in this shifting landscape without losing your soul or your license. If you don't know me, I'm Dea Swendreya. I'm an integrative physician, trauma recovery therapist, and a psychedelic guide. I created the Cornerstone Process to support practitioners who want to serve ethically, powerfully, and deep integrity. And I'll be sharing a little bit more about the certification with that program and how it helps for prep and integration. And I also want to talk about, you know, some of the questions that I hear every week from therapists and coaches, you know, as you probably hear them yourselves. Like, I have a client who just did ayahuasca last weekend. Am I allowed to help them process it? Is that even legal? And, you know, what happens if they have a breakdown? Is that going to be on me? And the most honest one is I hear people ask, am I going to get in trouble if I'm trying to help someone? So I thought it would be helpful for me to give you a little bit of the lay of the land in terms of this gray zone. Let's start with the obvious. The psychedelic space is evolving faster than all of the regulations around it. Clinics are popping up, retreats are selling out, but most professionals are really left wondering, what is allowed, what's not, and where do we draw that line? And so here's where we're going to get into some clarity. I want you to take a breath here, because the gray zone is actually not as terrifying as it sounds when you know the edges. So here's what you can do in most jurisdictions, especially if you're a licensed mental health provider, a coach, or a facilitator working within ethical best practices. You can talk about clients' psychedelic experiences. Whether they're planning to journey or they've already journeyed, discussion alone is not illegal. You can support clients with preparation and integration. That means helping them clarify intentions before a session or a journey, and helping them process and apply insights afterward. You can provide harm reduction education. That includes giving accurate information about set and setting, contraindications, aftercare, grounding practices. All of that you can do. So what can't you do? You cannot administer or directly provide illegal substances unless you're specifically licensed and operating within a legal state-sanctioned program. So if we're talking about psychedelics that most people are excited about, with MDMA potentially getting FDA approved in the United States, or psilocybin, right now this means that places like Oregon and Colorado, where regulated psilocybin services are rolling out, like for example, in Oregon, you can become a certified psilocybin facilitator and work within licensed service centers. Colorado is another developing infrastructure under their Natural Medicine Health Act. So unless you've gone through those specific channels and have a shiny badge from the state saying go for it, your role is support, not supply. And you should never be seen as promoting or encouraging illegal use. That's the line. But here's the thing. What most people don't recognize is that if your client is receiving ketamine, and I'm again talking mainly about the United States, ketamine isn't used much over here in Europe, with the exception of Portugal and some in the United Kingdom. If your client is receiving ketamine, whether that's at a clinic or through a lozenge protocol at home, integration is not a luxury. It is absolutely essential. And why? Because ketamine can actually stir up unresolved trauma. So people can be completely activated, or they could be numbed out in grief. Ketamine also opens altered states that need real containment and context. So I don't want you to think of PrEP and integration as a bonus. It really is your ethical duty to hold space for what unfolds after the medicine has done its work. And legally, that is absolutely within your scope when this is done with clarity and care. So why is this so important right now? Well, let's be real. People are tripping a lot. They're doing ketamine infusions at clinics with minimal psychological support in most cases. They're microdosing at home with little to no education. They're flying to South America, Portugal, Jamaica, and other places to sit with ayahuasca, psilocybin, even MDMA, and then they're coming back to you. They're showing up in your sessions, cracked open, confused, maybe euphoric or destabilized, and then you're left asking, like, what do I do with this? And here's the issue. There simply aren't enough trained facilitators to keep up with this wave of awakening. There simply are not enough. And most of the facilitators who are stepping in, they're not trained in trauma-informed care, crisis de-escalation, differentiating between psychosis and spiritual emergence or spiritual emergency. And they're not fully informed with integration frameworks that actually work long-term. So what happens? The client is misunderstood. The client might even be dismissed. We've certainly seen that. Or they get misdiagnosed or re-traumatized. And that's not okay. That's why your role in this space is so important. If people trust you, if they're coming to you and opening up, and if you want to support them, then you need to have the right tools. And that's why I created the certification that I'm going to be sharing with you in a little bit. And that's why this work matters so much right now. So I want to help you get prepared. But if we talk about you for a second, because even though you might feel the call to this work, you might also be carrying a very real, very valid set of beliefs or feelings of your own. Like, you might feel unqualified. Like, maybe you're out of your depth when a client drops the phrase, you know, during my ayahuasca journey. Or you may feel scared of saying the wrong thing, not just because of ethics, but because these experiences are sacred. They're also volatile and unpredictable. You might be worried about your license, about the board, about the gray area turning black and white if you mess up. And I just want you to know that, of course, fear is not a sign that you're wrong for this work. It's a sign that you care. The fear of overstepping, the discomfort of not knowing, the pressure to hold space and get it just right, these are not weaknesses. These are the sacred discomforts that we all face when we're stepping into a new role with reverence. So of course you want to do it right, and that's why you're here. And that's why this masterclass matters. It's exactly why I built the certification program to guide people like you through the discomfort into clarity, into confidence and ethical service. So you don't have to be afraid of this work, you just have to be trained for it. And I thought I would share one of the questions that came in via email earlier this week, because it's super relevant, especially for folks who are already visible online. And this person asked, is it okay to talk about my own mushroom or ayahuasca journeys online if they happened somewhere legal, like the Netherlands or Peru? Could that freak out a licensing board? Thank you for the question. Yes, You can share your personal experiences as long as you're not promoting illegal use or making it sound that like you're facilitating journeys in places where it's not legal. So if you had a powerful retreat in Holland or sat in ceremony in the Sacred Valley, you could absolutely speak about what it taught you, how it impacted your work, and what you integrated from that experience. But you want to be mindful of tone and context. You're sharing a story, not issuing an invitation. You could mention that it was legal, that you're offering education, and always keep it client-centered, not self-promotional in like the come and get high with me kind of way. And so this is a really great place to lead with transparency and humility. You're not saying that psychedelics are for everyone. You're saying that this was your experience and here's what you learned from it. I think that's a beautiful and totally legitimate way to show up. So I don't know if this resonates with anyone else here or anyone who's navigating how to show up online in this work. You know, we don't know what will happen. I haven't heard of any stories of people sharing of their experience of taking one of these sacred medicines in a legal context. You know, some people have worried that if you share that you were being treated for depression, that certain medical boards for physicians or surgeons might raise an eyebrow. But we haven't seen it yet. So those are some of the general recommendations. So getting back, I do believe that you can hold space without crossing lines. You can serve your clients without burning out. And you can guide people with ethical boundaries, spiritual wisdom, and clinical awareness. And one of the ways that I support people in getting that awareness is through one of our courses. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Safe Psychedelic Preparation. This course is available all year long. It's open enrollment. It's affordably priced. There are video modules. There's audio downloads. There's even journal prompts for you to process your own psychedelic prep or integration. We get into the science, the neuroscience of several different compounds, and it's a really great way to deepen your understanding of preparation. And this is also the prerequisite course for any of my graduate level training that you might want to do with me, whether that's apprenticeship or certification. So you can check out The Ultimate Guide to Safe Psychedelic Preparation on my website, wondrea.com. And you'll see that we also meet once a month for either guest lectures or community calls. That's part of that course. It's part of a private Zoom community where you get more education and more questions answered. And I also want to introduce you to the Cornerstone process. And this for me is what makes this work really stick. I created the Cornerstone process after 20 years of guiding people through trauma, recovery, spiritual awakening, and identity reinvention. And that's both with and without psychedelics. So this isn't just another prep and integrate checklist. It's a 5-step biopsychosocial spiritual framework, and it transforms fragmentation into sovereignty and trauma into post-traumatic growth. It's not about managing symptoms. It's about reclaiming agency, purpose, and the authentic self. This is the method that I wish existed when I started my healing journey. And so what makes this different? Well, most models out there treat healing like a linear fix-it job, like a trauma gets processed or a symptom gets treated, and then you're pushed back into normal life. And that's not enough. You know, I've had 25 years as a physician to show me that that's not enough. And the Cornerstone process is really different because it centers spiritual emergence and identity reintegration. It gives equal weight to the body, the brain, the beliefs, and the soul. It's truly holistic. And it's designed to support post-traumatic growth, not just post-trip stabilization. And it really is this bridge between clinical structures, therapeutic structures, and soul retrieval. So here's the foundation of the Cornerstone process. We are based in science and research, including work from Gestalt therapy and internal family systems. All of the work that I did in addiction medicine 25 years ago is interwoven, and even Eastern spiritual philosophy and contemplative practice. So when you're learning about the Cornerstone process, woven into it are aspects from cognitive therapy, mindfulness and meditation, as well as narrative therapy, which you'll hear us all talking about again and again. It's about changing that narrative and moving forward in life, moving from victim to hero. So here's the foundation of the Cornerstone process. We begin with awareness. This is about helping clients recognize their core wounds, their false identities, and internalized conditioning. Think family history, ACE scores, identity mapping, and parts work. This is also where we are exploring what their intentions are for the healing journey. Acceptance is where healing really starts to kick in, with forgiveness work, compassion, releasing shame or guilt. We work with the body, emotions, and the nervous system here. Step three is about accountability. It's not about punishment. It's not about power. It's about helping clients reclaim agency and start to build a life that reflects their true values. We use tools like tracking, inner child work, and radical honesty, and then writing a narrative of who they want to step into as their future self, their healed self, the things that they'll be leaving behind after ceremony or after a series of ketamine infusions. Step four is inspired action, which is really the sweet spot where purpose and practice meet. Our clients get to architect their lives with intentionality, with rituals, with vision, and with sustainable habits so that these insights and epiphanies stick. Step five is appreciation, which is the most underestimated medicine. Gratitude, celebration, and integration of the new identity is where we anchor transformation into everyday life. So the Cornerstone process is really flexible for coaches, therapists, and facilitators to adapt across different scopes of practice. It's not dogma, it's structure. So you'd be able to use this with clients who are recovering from trauma, who are rebuilding after a spiritual emergency, people who want to integrate psychedelic experience, people who are reclaiming lost parts of their identity. So it holds space for science, for soul, and that sacred transformation that really does open up to us with psychedelics. And so let me paint a picture for you. A client returns from an ayahuasca retreat feeling cracked open. You don't want to just talk about, okay, what did you see? You use awareness and acceptance to map what it meant and why it hit them so hard. A client might finish some ketamine sessions, and with the Cornerstone process, you walk them through meaning-making, reintegration, and behavioral alignment. Or a client might hit a spiritual wall during their microdosing, and you can guide them back to clarity, not by fixing them, but by helping them reclaim their own inner compass. And this, by the way, is how you avoid burnout, bypassing, and ethical landmines. So practitioners who've already been through this certification say things like, "This gave me a roadmap when all I had was intuition." I've also heard, "I finally feel like I can hold deep spiritual space without dissociating from my clinical brain." And I have many people who say, "I use the Cornerstone process even with clients who haven't touched medicine. It's just good, holistic care." So what I want you to walk away with is an understanding that you can support clients ethically. You can stay in scope and protect your license or your reputation. And you can become the kind of guide that this moment truly, truly needs. So if you're feeling the yes, if your body knows that you're ready for this work, even if your mind is still catching up, then I invite you to join us for the full certification. The cornerstone process for psychedelic-assisted prep and integration includes 5 phases of this prep and integration model in full training modules, both live and pre-recorded. It's got trauma-informed spiritual tools for real-world transformation and identity healing. We cover the legal and ethical clarity that allows you to serve confidently and safely. And you'll be part of a movement of conscious, heart-led professionals stepping into leadership with integrity. So whether you are a therapist, coach, clinician, or sacred rebel ready to evolve your practice, you belong here. You don't need to be in a clinical program to join this certification. So you can apply right away. You can check that out on my website. I'll also be providing a link with this replay. So I really look forward to opening up for questions. And for those of you who think you want to go beyond prep and integration, I will just remind you of the Alchemy of the Soul Psychedelic Facilitation Apprenticeship. And this is an 8-month program where we go deep into what it takes to actually facilitate these journeys safely, legally, and ethically. And included is an invitation to come on one of our psilocybin truffle retreats in the Netherlands, where it's completely legal. So if you have questions about any of these programs, shoot me an email. I will also be hosting some live Q&A sessions in June of 2025. So these programs start in June and July of this year, and I would love to have you in one of our next cohorts. But here we are on Zoom, and I want to check in with you to see if you have any questions. What has come up as you've heard me share? I mean, we're facing the same thing here in France, the same that you're experiencing in South Africa. So here in France, all of the psychedelics are illegal, and they're still classified as not having any medical use. And yet, people are going on journeys. People are facilitating these journeys. And then they're going to therapists to get support, or social workers, or coaches. So what I see, what you're explaining, is you're just a few years behind in terms of eventually. Usually what happens in these cases is there's enough scientific and clinical research done to prove which substances are safe and for which conditions they can be used for. And once people can get behind the science and the safety, then they can usually start looking at legalizing or medicalizing, you know, or doing the decriminalization. And so that could take years. You know, I was part of this initiative here called Psychedelic Care, which has been lobbying to get 1 million signatures from European citizens to submit a petition to the European Commission asking them to legalize psychedelic assisted therapy in Europe, to make it every citizen's right. So that's like a citizens grassroots initiative. So there's going to have to be some initiative, whether it comes from a university or clinicians who get on the bandwagon and see the potential. So you're just going to have to wait, unfortunately, and then do what you're doing, and that is to share the resources that are available online for free, like our Sacred Psychedelic Saturday or Real Self-Love. And when you do hear about people who are psychedelic informed that are safe spaces, then share those with those people who are reaching out to you. I think the most frustrating thing is, like you say, people are now able to find places to trip in or journey in South Africa, and most of the ayahuasqueros or the medicine men and women aren't providing a comprehensive container. And that's where people can really get lost. And so I would advocate for maybe telling whoever is organizing the retreats, tell them to organize on their own some sort of a follow-up. Even if the shaman or the medicine man or woman is going to go away somewhere, that whoever's hosting and facilitating, like getting people together, organizing the space can make it their contribution to make sure that you have a way to check in with people for at least several weeks after. Because that's the greatest time for people to share, for them to remember things, for them to get normalized, the sense that they're not weirdos. And then, of course, to be witnessed such that if someone is, you know, trickling over towards psychosis or really having a downward spiral, then you might be able to support them to getting the care that they need. And then since you mentioned it, Kaya, you know a lot of healthcare practitioners, you know, you can just share with them resources, you know, things that they can look at. The Heart and Mind Institute is republishing a mega summit, the Expanded States of Consciousness Mega Summit, which, as you know, is free to watch the videos. You know, I would share that. Share that with the healthcare providers that you know that might have a little bit of an opening, because just hearing more practitioners and researchers talking about it and then clients or people sharing their experiences, that's going to help to normalize, demystify, and so on. The last thing I'll say about your particular case, which is also true for us in France and almost anywhere where it's not yet legal, is there is a risk of offering support for people. And so I invite you to look at like the laws. So if you were talking to a social worker or a mental health practitioner or a doctor, a therapist, their licensing board will tell what they're allowed to talk about. And since in South Africa, it's considered an addictive substance, there are rules about what clinicians can talk about in terms of addiction. And it's called harm reduction. So those things, even in the United States, for example, those things can even be covered by medical insurance. If someone is truly getting a session that's termed harm reduction, those things are covered. So it wouldn't be taboo, you know, just like if you were talking to someone who had a cocaine addiction, that healthcare provider would want to be as present and forthright as possible to support that person. So you might invite people to look at it from that lens as well. In general, that would just be you providing a friend support. In general, you wouldn't want to try to charge money for that, although there could certainly be an exchange if this person wants to honor your time. But I would be wary of putting like that on a website saying, hey, I can be your trip sitter if you procure your own stuff, because that implies an encouragement of procuring an illegal substance if that's truly illegal in your region. That is 8 weeks. We start in July. And just like with the Alchemy of the Soul, we meet twice a month for the cohort calls, where it's live training. And then you meet in a small group pod twice a month for role-playing and exchange and support. And there's an exam at the end to give the official certification, which then allows you to use the worksheets, the practices from the cornerstone in your clinical work, which works really well with people who are doing ketamine, as you brought up, Brittany. Many of my colleagues who also did the IPI training and others have found that having the cornerstone process just gives them a very structured list of things to do that helps people, because as you know, going off to a ketamine infusion can be helpful. I mean, the molecule itself does have antidepressant effects. It is going to help, but it's the making sense of and regrounding and integrating that's so crucial. And so people have found that the cornerstone process just gives them this breadth and depth of choice, but then they can create this structured, holistic plan that helps people make sense of it. You're absolutely right. The community aspect is huge. And part of it is just because we're often wounded in relationship. And so it's beautiful to heal in relationship and heal in community. But I often tell people who come for like VIP, they want to just do their journey by themselves. I'm like, yes, and a group journey and group integration helps, because just like what you said, Brittany, sometimes someone says something, and even if it wasn't your experience, it can trigger a knowing, because we're all walking the same soul journey. We've all been wounded. We've all got our stuff. And people provide these mirrors, and being in that safe group container, that sense of community, often helps other people to open up about what they're experiencing. And it's like you witness healing, and then it shows you what other healing is possible for you. So it's I'm glad that you're bringing this up, because it's not just about the molecule. It's not just about talking. Community and group work is so healing. So when we work through these things, I encourage people to either volunteer, or even if they have a community, to set up their own integration circles, just like what I was describing for Kaya in South Africa. Because as long as it's just considered harm reduction and sharing, you're not promoting anything. If you have the time and the bandwidth for it, offering that for free in the beginning or donation-based can be a really beautiful way to support people. You know, in these training models, most people think of group and community as just a way to make it cheaper. Like, okay, if we get everyone in one place, then we can charge less money and that makes it more accessible. And that is true, but it's what we're talking about is this extra element of healing and community. And also for practitioners to feel like we're not alone. Like, we can also bounce ideas off of the group to say, you know, this is something that came up in an integration session. How are you other folks working with it or dealing with it? If you have questions about any of the training opportunities or want to get clarity on PrEP, integration, the gray zone, and beyond, then you can send me an email at deus@wondrea.com. And of course, stay tuned for our next live masterclass, where we will be talking about beyond the bad trip, how to turn those challenging experiences into lasting transformation. So good stuff ahead, as well as some more live info sessions. So once you've perused the website and watched these replays, you can come back in June to one of our info sessions to ask me more questions. And hopefully I will see you in one of these cohorts. And if you have friends that are interested, please share this with them. We are going to be offering these trainings in 2026 in French. And Jess will be helping me, and one of our apprentices in one of the current cohorts, Neil, will probably be helping as well. So I'm very excited, because there are a lot of French-speaking folks who are ready to support people who are easily traveling, like to the Netherlands, for example. As I said, there is a serious shortage, even in North America, in the United States. Like, there's a shortage of people who are trained and competent in providing PrEP and integration. So if someone were building a practice, if they wanted, even if they are considered a coach and not a facilitator, there's serious need. When you look at the number of infusion clinics that have opened in America, where they're just doing medical screening, giving people ketamine, checking their vitals, and then sending them home. There's no psychological exploration of the PrEP and integration process. And there simply aren't enough facilitators to meet the demand. So if this is of interest, please share this with others as well, so that we can meet that need. Yes, it is sacred work. I call this soul work. You know, I tell folks that at the beginning of our training, that you're not just a trip sitter. If you come through this program, or you're not just a therapist, you're doing soul work. You're being this midwife for a soul's emergence, or the re-ensoulment that we might experience after burnout or breakdown or identity crisis. And that's another thing that I am providing as well. Our past cohorts are open to join a supervision program, so that they can run difficult cases by me, or medical questions if they have them, which is super important, because most of the big training programs, you can't go back and ask the guest lecturers any questions. They're helpful in providing that base, but that ongoing mentorship is also lacking. And so that's what I'm doing to fill the gap. Well, I do hope that you'll join us on Sacred Psychedelic Saturday. It happens on Zoom. It's free to sign up. You can come and be anonymous and just listen, or if you have had a journey or you're preparing for a journey, no matter the substance, you can share with us in community. It's a great place to just stay tuned into the medicine. Because sometimes you go on a journey and then you go back to your regular life and you can tell your friends or family what you've been through, but after a while, they're kind of like sick of hearing it. Whereas in our community, we're never sick of it. It's like, you can tell us the same story several times. It doesn't bother us at all, because sometimes you're telling it and you'll have a new insight or see it from a new perspective. So having a safe community that gets it, like we get it, can be really, really helpful. So I welcome you to join us in Sacred Psychedelic Saturday. You'll also find that on my website. And again, it's totally free to join. So that's part of my service for harm reduction and community integration for both practitioners and journeyers alike. It feels like a sacred duty, because it is, certainly we're doing this for our own individual healing, but like you, I agree that we've got to be a part of the shift in consciousness, the raising of consciousness on the planet for our species, for all species, quite honestly. And it is dicey to be open, but I know you know this story, but during the course of the last few years, I've lost two very dear friends to suicide. These were two healthcare providers who deeply impacted my work and helped me really step into deeper layers of acceptance. And so one of them, who transitioned 2018, it just rocked my world, mainly because I understood that this person had depression, but I didn't really open up about my depression. I didn't share what I was going through in terms of my own healing journey. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to do this. I don't blame myself, but I do recognize that maybe if I had shared, not online, but at least with him, maybe he would have felt more safe. Or maybe I could have shared just something as simple as ketamine, which is legal in the United States. Ketamine helps cut suicidality. You know, so for someone struggling, they can get to an emergency department and get stabilized, which can buy you time. Quite honestly, that can give you a buffer where someone feels better enough to get plugged in to the right therapist or care group or psychiatrist. And that same experience was after I'd had my first ayahuasca journeys and later my mushroom journeys, and I decided to stop being silent. And I shared a little bit on YouTube about my journey and then opened up. And then during the COVID pandemic, another very dear friend was struggling with anxiety and was prescribed a benzodiazepine that did not react well with her system, and it sent her into a terrible spiral. And that spiral ended up creating the perfect conditions for suicidality. And when she died by suicide, once again, I just crumbled, to be honest. And it was once again this call for me to share my experiences, what I've been through, and what's worked. Not as an evangelist, because psychedelics are not for everyone. They're not a magic bullet. They don't solve every single problem. But they can be significant supports. They can be transformational. And, you know, having a background in journalism and education, I wanted to start sharing my story, but also teaching. And I thank you for the recognition. But it definitely comes from a place of not wanting people to go through the most horrendous things that we humans can suffer with. Well, once again, I thank you so much for tuning in to this masterclass. I hope that you've learned something. And again, if you have questions, shoot me an email. Otherwise, I will see you in one of our upcoming sessions. Sending you so much love from the south of France, and praying for you every day. I'll see you next time. Take good care, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Innate Vitality Code podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's IN, the number 8, vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.